Will the United States greenlight land strikes on Venezuela? And is it planning to oust Nicolas Maduro, as he claims?
How can I answer a question like that? Are there plans for a strike on Venezuela? Who would say that?
So, as the conflict with Venezuela heats up, President Trump has pulled back the curtain, so to speak, on America's new plans to oust Maduro from power while facilitating the return of hundreds of thousands of Venezuelan nationals who recently saw their temporary protected status in America expire. A reverse migration, which will only add to the upheaval being experienced by Venezuela, which is on the brink of war.
Meantime, he's also doubling down on his threats on Venezuela, with the possibility of taking action on land in that country, and perhaps very soon. In fact, this morning on Truth Social, he warned pilots and traffickers that they should consider the airspace above Venezuela to be closed.
Everything that is being done against Venezuela is to justify a war, regime change, and to steal our immense oil wealth.
Immensa riqueza petrolera.
Is this about getting rid of President Maduro?
No, this is about many things. This is a country that allowed their prisons to be emptied into our country.
They sent people from their mental institutions into our country, and we're getting them out.
My family and myself, we are desperate because this happened so fast.
She is one of 260,000 Venezuelans who live and work in the United States as beneficiaries of temporary protected status. But Friday before midnight, they will become undocumented immigrants.
On Venezuela in particular, are Maduro's days as president numbered?
I would say, yeah. I think so, yeah.
So if Maduro surrenders, where does he go? What country does he flee to? Some people say the Middle East, others are saying Russia. But you know something, nobody's talking about how Nicolas Maduro doesn't have to go anywhere if he just shuts down the cartel that he allegedly runs, which controls his entire country. But you see, the thing about that is it's not only alleged that Nicolas Maduro is the leader of the Cartel de las Solas, but also the Tren de Aragua gang, two criminal organizations with operations reaching as far as American sanctuary cities like Chicago, where their illegal operations prop up his lavish lifestyle, while the people of Venezuela experience nothing even close to the American dream. Speaking of which, over 200,000 Venezuelan nationals that were living here in the United States just had their temporary status here expire, which means they now have to head home, and that could be another big problem for Maduro, and that alone might even force him from power. Or at least it'd be icing on the cake when you look at all of the military pressure on Venezuela from the United States. Because this country has rigged the deck against its own citizens for so long. If it experienced a sudden population increase, this stronghold of socialism could collapse, leading to a reorganization of government that likely does not include one specific cartel kingpin. Which brings us to the real reason President Trump is putting so much pressure on Venezuela. The people of this country deserve a better future, one that's free from corruption and crime. And if the corruption and crime flowing out of this place disappears, the rest of the world is going to be better off, as sanctuary countries for criminals and fugitives do not add to world peace, harmony, or prosperity, as their only goal is to prey upon the law-abiding wherever they find them, whether it's in their home country or far from its border, like this.
According to a post on their Facebook page, Coahuila County says a total of 44 people were arrested as a result of six federal search warrants that were executed at multiple homes and one business on the Garden Isle. Coahuila County says among those arrested were two suspected associates of the foreign terrorist organization Tren de Aragua, based in Venezuela.
How do they get to Hawaii? And how are they there with 44 other people in some organization that is so far from Venezuela? Now, of course, the vast majority of Venezuelan nationals in the United States did not come here to be gang members or criminals. But because of a lack of vetting at the U.S. southern border, it seems criminals exploited this situation in ways we're still finding out about, making their way to every corner of our nation. Something the president is right to call out.
Venezuela's been very bad. Venezuela's been really bad in something else, probably worse than most, but a lot of other people do it too. They would empty their jails into our country. They sent people into our country that we don't want. They sent people from their mental institutions into our country, and we're getting them out.
The president's right. Venezuela has not been very nice to the United States. And you know something? It's about time somebody did something about this. As this country's enabled criminals to enter our country along with their own citizens, whose lives were ruined by those very same criminals. A terrible situation, but now things have changed. Trend Aragua is on the ropes along with the Venezuelan government, and there's now talk of Maduro suddenly fleeing the country and vanishing, leaving behind a shattered shell of a country that's been off limits to its own people for decades.
Verified that Maduro had reached out over the course of the past week and a half or so to potentially float the idea of his departure and his possibly immediate family and possibly some close senior personnel around him. Whether that's true or not, it really is the goal of this entire situation, right? Is to get him to make that decision on his own, or to get his circle of advisors to tell him, now it's time for you to go.
His circle of advisors. Are we supposed to believe that he surrounds himself with advisors who give him advice that he hasn't already decided he wants? I don't know if he has advisors who disagree with him a whole lot. But with the country's airspace now completely closed, this nation, which has unlimited potential thanks to its vast natural resources like oil, is now essentially frozen. A country cannot function if its waterways are closed and its airspace is closed. And the entire country is essentially in limbo. And if the criminals want to stay here, they can do so, but they're going to be monitored by U.S. assets out at sea and in the air, leaving them with no choice but to surrender. I'm surprised they haven't surrendered yet.
Do you have any doubt that one way or another, Maduro goes and goes soon?
Yeah, I don't see how he keeps this going. I mean, I think he's also looking at the idea of, does Venezuela have any leverage? Does his regime have any leverage, a card to play perhaps? And that would, of course, be revolving around the oil, right? That's their top resource. Now, the Maduro regime and the Chavez regime before it, you know, they've driven this country into the ground. And so, you know, there is the possibility that, you know, he could play that card and say as a transaction.
I don't believe that for one second. This is a socialist dictatorship. And look at this. Who's going to trust them? They nationalized their oil industry in 1976. This action brought 21 oil companies and 17 related businesses, including subsidiaries of Exxon, Shell, and Mobil under government control. They stole private businesses and just took them over. What? No one's going to believe them if they say, yeah, come on in, bring your businesses in, and, you know, we'll work something out. You can't trust these guys. They have zero leverage. But let's be clear about something else. The U.S. doesn't even want Venezuela's oil, because right next to Venezuela, you've got a country called Guyana. This is a free country which speaks English and also has a ton of oil. And those same companies that Venezuela took over 40 years ago, well, guess what? They're breaking ground in Guyana right now. And that country is about to become incredibly prosperous. And guess what? The U.S. isn't there taking it over. The Trump administration doesn't have troops in Guyana stealing their oil. No, there's a great arrangement going on there between private businesses and the Guyanese people, and it's going to make their country rich. If you could trust Venezuela, maybe you could work something like that out. Perhaps if a new government comes into Venezuela, a government which is friendly to world peace and its own people and doesn't want to steal businesses, maybe something could be worked out then that would really turn Venezuela around, that would bring wealth to its people. The only question is, will that happen before their dear leader brings airstrikes down upon his own country?
Nicolas Maduro regularly says that the U.S. wants to oust him.
Everything that is being done against Venezuela is to justify a war, regime change, and to steal our immense oil wealth.
No one cares about your oil,
which is
dude.
The largest oil reserve and the fourth largest gas reserve in the world.
Right.
Maduro, who's been in power since 2013, is no stranger to repressing opposition and dissent.
Really?
Amidst the escalation with the U.S., he's mobilized Venezuela's troops. all the while continuing to benefit from the military support of nations like Russia, Iran.
You know what? Typical communists, you give them a prosperous country with vast natural resources, and what do? They run that place into the ground and just turn it into a total disaster. This didn't make anyone rich. The people of Venezuela have not been made prosperous by their country's vast natural resources and their socialist government, which claims to be looking out for them and claims to have their best interests at heart. Far from it. The place is such a disaster. We've got 250,000 people from that country living in the United States that had to stay here for a few years while the place stabilized. It was in free fall for a while there, which is why this whole TPS thing happened to begin with. And now it's time for people to head back. But since this country's already falling apart, can't take care of the people that it has, if a 250,000 new folks show up tomorrow, I mean, what's going to happen? That could be the end. Plus, these are folks who've experienced freedom in America. These are people who've experienced the outside world and have seen how much better things could be when a government does its best to work on behalf of the people, like our government has been doing for this year. The idea that you're going to have a massive number of people head home to Venezuela and just put up with a dictatorship, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen.
But you're right. We have launched attacks against other nations who had harbored terrorists, who had given terrorists sanctuary.
Yeah.
But I find that to be a little bit different than the current situation. I think the president would do well to present the evidence that we have to the American people. We're a bit wary, I think, U.S. citizens, of engaging in foreign conflicts.
That's right.
We saw what happened in Iraq and Afghanistan, where we didn't have a real clear handle on what our strategic objectives were.
Yeah, our strategic objective was to waste money and have a forever war that enriched a military-industrial complex. At least, it's my personal opinion on that. But Venezuela is different. We're not going to have to put troops in Venezuela. A few airstrikes would end this whole cartel sanctuary thing once and for all. We know where these places are. We've got satellites. We've got intelligence. If they've got, you know, a whole bunch of places scattered throughout the country, if airstrikes take all of those out at once, precision strikes that only target the bad guys and don't hurt people who have nothing to do with the bad guys, the whole thing ends. There's not going to be criminals running around in the open. They're not going to be moving freely throughout this country. And I bet you that right there causes this Maduro to just get on a jet, pack his bags, and poof, he's out of there.
And so that's what you see here. This show of force, this military there, is not there to kill speedboats. It's there to demonstrate to Maduro
right. That
it's in your best interest to voluntarily leave.
Yeah, right.
The president has already made up his mind, I believe, that regime change is what is called for here. And so our viewers understand, in 1989, President George H.W. Bush directed a regime change in Panama of Noriega.
Mm-hmm.
He was indicted in this country. He felt completely justified in physically removing him from power by conducting an invasion to do that regime change. In 94, just a few years later, President Clinton did much the same thing, dealing with Haiti, when a military dictator took over and removed a democratically elected president. The mission was to restore that democratically elected president to power. That was Aristide. Presidents of...
We have past precedent in our hemisphere, in our sphere of influence, that did not turn into Iraq-style confrontations, forever wars, if you want to call it that. President George H.W. Bush, President Clinton, and now possibly President Trump. The very same thing could happen here. And there's a component to all of this that people are forgetting. Who just won the Nobel Peace Prize? Who was it? It was the Venezuelan opposition leader. And we're supposed to think that this alleged cartel kingpin, Maduro, is better equipped to run his country into the ground than the Nobel Peace Prize winner is to restore it, make it better, bring prosperity and peace to this people? Do we really think she's going to come in, if she were to come in and form a new government or run it in some way, and be worse than Nicolas Maduro? Absolutely not. Yet we've got the progressives and the socialists here in American politics that are saying, oh, Trump is terrible. There's no evidence that Venezuela is a terrible place. He calls this gentleman a dictator, but that's not true. I mean, it's like these people are just,
He's conducting a comprehensive campaign. The ships, the airplanes, and the rest of it is focused on Maduro principally, but the campaign is much, much larger than that.
Yeah, well,
thank you. And I applaud the efforts. I mean, we've been wringing our hands about this for years.
Right.
Martha, they're not doing much about it.
No, I think you're so right.
Clearly, we want Maduro to voluntarily get out of there. But the president has a lot of options, and certainly Maduro is much aware of what those options are.
Yeah,
much of what happens here is likely more in Maduro's hands than anybody else's.
Right, so it's up to him. He could end this whole thing tomorrow if he just leaves town. I think it's probably too late for him to say, okay, yeah, I'm going to get serious about crime in my country and when we're going to open up reforms, because people don't trust him. Nobody's going to trust him if he comes out and says, you know what, I'll work with everybody. I want to restore peace and prosperity to my people. Bring in outside businesses. Let's make a deal. Let's fix my country up. And then what? In 4 years, we've got some new U.S. president. And what happens? They take everything back over again and just use the money and prosperity they achieved temporarily to continue their regime. I think we're past the point of that. I don't think any kind of leverage even exists for Venezuela. I guess the only question now is, are we going to see something more happen in this country? Will there be precision strikes which eliminate the cartel infrastructure here? Why would Mr. Maduro have any reason to stay? I don't think he would. I think he would hightail it out of there the second that happens. But what do you think? See you in the next video.